From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Only 21 hours late. How are you? Ray Ratto here. Alan Stiles there. And today we're going to pay homage to one of the great Americans. Don't know his name, but he's a great American because this is what he did back in the offseason before the NBA season started. He bet $10,000 at 750 to 1 and then doubled down and bet $8,000 at 350 to 1 on the Sacramento Kings winning the NBA title. He stands to win $10.3 million if they do it.
This year?
This year.
Wow.
That's the greatest American citizen ever.
And it wasn't Mattress Mac, because you know that guy's always doing
something. Oh, yeah. No, this is a guy who may be living on a mattress for all I know. And this was in the summer before anybody knew anything.
Was it before? You remember that clip during summer league when, I don't know if the Kings, what'd they go, 500? They did pretty well in the summer league, and the fans were running out saying, this is our year. I don't know if this is their year to win the playoffs or win the whole thing, but either way, what a year to pick it, Ray. I mean, if we always talk about this, if you had somebody come down from Venus or Mars and you said, hey, look at these teams, and you just showed them a game each of a team in the last couple weeks, right? They would see this Kings team, and they would say, yeah, I mean, that team looks like a team that could go really far. But we can't separate the fact, if you're not a Kings fan, it's hard to separate the fact that they are the Kings, and that's why people like me, and maybe it's some of the star power as well, well, if the Warriors do face the Kings, I have the Warriors.
Oh, I'm rooting for the Kings with no shame attached at all.
I know that.
I want this guy to cash. I mean, one, he has no regard for money.
Right.
Two, he will bet the most preposterous thing on the card and he's throwing 18 grand at this proposition.
Yeah. He probably has...
probably loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
But nevertheless, he's the guy that I won't begrudge acting like a doof if they do win it.
Yeah.
Even if they get to the conference final.
Right.
You know he'll buy back some of that and make a ton of money off of it.
Right. And you could make the argument this is a year where the West is a mess. I know the East has, Giannis is now injured. I don't know if you saw, but Giannis was on a show and had some things to say. They had him read a bunch of mean things to other players because he never talks trash to other players.
And he couldn't do it.
He did it, but it was extremely awkward and funny at the same time. But you look at the Bucks, you have, I don't know, I guess the Sixers, the Celtics. But this is a year. You feel better about a bet like this year than any other year in terms of the powerhouses that you feel like the Kings could run into. They got a shot.
Well, yeah. I mean, speaking of shots, Warriors play tonight against Portland. The lovely and talented Damian Lillard, who we expounded upon yesterday and will probably expound upon more today. In fact, we'll be doing it with Baxter Holmes of ESPN, who wrote a long piece about Lillard that I believe he wrote well before Lillard went for 71 on Sunday night. But he will share further thoughts on him. And then at 4:15, Kalen Kaler, NFL expert, will talk about the competition committee. We'll talk about what's going on with the Washington Commanders. And we'll talk about maybe the most preposterous rule change request of them all this year, which is the Philadelphia Eagles asking the league to allow players to wear zero as a number. for the first time since 1962.
Wow.
Why? No idea.
Why not?
Why not usually doesn't get you much traction.
That's true.
Somebody had to think of this, which means somebody wants to wear zero on the Eagles roster.
Well, I obviously we're talking about football here, but that might be something that they have to look at in basketball as well. I don't know what it's going to be.
Oh, they already let players wear zero.
Well, they let players wear zero.
In fact, your favorite player wears zero.
Who, Westbrook?
Try again.
Lillard?
Try again.
Zero? I don't
zero.
Know.
Right? Come on, think about
it. Who's my favorite player?
Think about who your favorite player is.
Gilbert Arenas?
Come on.
I don't know.
How do you not know this? Try James Wiseman.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There you go.
God, how do you not take the bait there?
Well, no, well, now you led me to it. We'll get into James Wiseman and his huge night last night. But what I was going to say is the Celtics, they keep on retiring so many numbers. In about 20 years, they're going to look like these AAU teams with three digits. They're going to run out.
They're not going to run out.
They might run out.
They have 100 choices. Actually, 101 choices.
They keep retiring.
They've only retired like 15 of them.
Well, it's climbing
that
up.
That means
Ray.
They've still got 85 numbers. They've had guys who are 99, for God's sakes.
They're climbing up.
Yeah, by the time the 23rd century rolls around, it might be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I found that hilarious. With all the other debates about, making roughing the passer reviewable and trying to end the tush push on fourth and short.
Yeah.
The Eagles thought, you know what really bugs us? That nobody can wear zero.
Well, I think that's what it is. The Eagles are saying, well, if you're going to take away tush push, then
give us something zero back. Give us zero.
Just give
and we'll
us
also
zero
ask
back.
Kalen about, and it saddens me to do this, but you're all hot for it. So, mm-hmm. John Lynch saying that they're going to kick the tires on a third quarterback.
Oh, don't worry.
Like, that was going to be a question.
Oh, don't worry. We have a list, and Ray actually
You have
some,
a list.
No, I have a list, but Ray actually had some good points in the green room about what the Niners might do. Ray's really excited about this.
I can't stand any of it. I mean, nobody asked John Lynch anything. Just stop it. Go back in your hold. Make a phone call. Leave us alone.
He had a lot of good things to say, Ray. A lot of big updates.
No, there were updates, but they were not important updates. Tell us when something's going to happen, not when something's not going to happen.
I think that Purdy update's a little, kind of a big one.
Well, they were going to give us an update before the 5th, because mm-hmm. that's when the new surgery is scheduled. What did he tell us? Nothing.
Well, he told us what he told us, which we'll get into later, and then we react to it, Ray. That's how this works.
That's why radio's doomed. what else was going on? Hockey player got suspended 3 games for spitting on another guy. I find that hilarious. College football is looking into ways to shorten games from their current average of about 340.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when people complain about baseball being too long, college football is torturous.
It is. And that's always been the question, right? Because I know a couple years ago when I did a comparison, and the average time of a football game was actually longer. This is the NFL, longer than the baseball game. So I understand that you need to shorten baseball games just for attention spans and things like that. But it's not a matter of the amount of time. And it's surprising that college football is even worried about this, because to me, it's never been the amount of time. It's about how urgent the time is and how much the time matters. 4 hours for 162 games is a lot different than 4 hours for 17 games.
But the networks are worried about it. Mm. And since it's now clear that the networks are fueling this new restructuring of college football, they're basically gone to the rules committee and says, fix this.
Right. Yeah.
If we're going to have 4 games on a day, we can't have, we can't go into 3 of those 4 games in progress because the first game took 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And Adam Silver in the NBA, they're discussing having a target score in overtime,
which is idiotic. And I'm not sure how much they're discussing it. I mean, How do you react to something that has happened only three times in the history of the sport?
Yeah. Well, and that's what they do, right? They overreact to just show that they're reacting.
Or it's somebody who had to type something saying, you know, the NFL, the NBA could look into this. Mm-hmm. They could look into anything. They could look into legalizing the punt.
Yeah.
But just because, you know, Sacramento beat the Clippers over the weekend, you know, 176 to 175 in double overtime, mm-hmm. that requires action. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff just happens.
So this happens a lot in business, I feel. If there's an issue at your job, or, you know, whether it's a tech job, whether you're working in the trade, if there's a very specific issue that ended up causing a ruckus, even if it's a very specific issue, how much time do you spend talking about this issue as if it happens all the time when it doesn't? So it's just a part of business that they're just crossing their T's and dotting their I's. Do they really have any intention? Well, no, because you talk about records that would... Everybody's worried about cutting down Major League Baseball games and their records having an asterisk or not being able to be reached if you cut down the games. If you cap overtimes, then, you know, some of the records that we've seen in basketball, you will never see again because you don't have to. Now, I don't know. Now, maybe it should matter based on what that cap is. But if that cap is so ridiculous or the target score is so ridiculous that it doesn't matter, then there's no point. Because what Adam Silver said was that it should help some of the extra minutes that guys are playing and things like that. So what do we think? What do you even do? So it wouldn't be an amount. It wouldn't be first to 150. It would be once you get to overtime, what? First to 15?
Yeah. I mean, it's something stupid that really had it impacts so few games. And more people had fun watching that game than were repelled by it by a massive margin.
Yeah.
So no, it's literally nothing. And if they actually react to this, then it just shows that Adam Silver is a gussied up version of Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
And who wants that?
And it continues to happen, whether it's what we talked about yesterday and mentioned the tush push and all this stuff. Basically, just because you can change things doesn't mean you have to.
Exactly. By the way, guest today, Kalen Kaler, NFL expert on all the stuff that is going on in the league. And Baxter Holmes in about half an hour on Damian Lillard and Portland and basketball in general. But first we have to do this. And the only reason we can do this is because I get to say that we are sponsored by Bob's Discount Furniture.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Damon and Ratto is streaming live on YouTube. Actually, that's a lie. Because we're not streaming live on YouTube. It's me and Alan Stiles today. Damon's on vacation, but rumor has it he'll be back tomorrow. So live with that shame. Anyway, normally we're streaming live on YouTube. So head over to youtube.com/95.7TheGame. To watch us today, and then me and him tomorrow and forevermore, and see what's going on inside the studio. Like today, we're going to slaughter a calf. Like and subscribe for all 95.7 The Game content on YouTube. We also have an amendment to our earlier list of guests. Baxter Holmes, who we had scheduled for 3:45, has pushed back to 5 because apparently he's needs time to get drunk before he talks to us. And then Kalen Kaler again at 4:15. Anyway, you're all hot and bothered about the 49ers mm-hmm. for God only knows what reason.
Well, there are a lot of different reasons, Ray.
There's only one reason.
What is that reason?
You're bored.
But, I mean, in this period where you're trying to not be bored and you're looking for things to kind of grab onto, I think John Lynch had a lot of good things to say. He went out, you know, Trey Lance is back throwing. I think that's a big deal. Doesn't see a limp, John Lynch said, even though he said, you know, obviously he's not 100%, but from where he sits, he's got a great, great seat, and he's looking outside, and he's seeing everything that Trey Lance is doing, and it's very early, but looking good. On the other side of things, Purdy is checking in with their doctor later this week to see if they'll be ready for surgery next week. So I don't know. Everything that they're saying all the right things in terms of the inflammation and checking to make sure it goes down. But until they actually open this up and, you know, get on in there and see what's going on with this UCL, I think it's still worrisome. So now you're looking at what's today. Today is the last day of February. They're saying they check in and they're hoping to have the surgery next week, and they don't know if they will. So I think at least if you're a Niners fan, you can be happy about one of the quarterbacks making their way back, and hopefully things go well for Brock Purdy later this week and he's able to have the surgery next week. And that list, Ray, on top of all this, you got your two QBs, your two young QBs on rookie deals, and the list of possible third stringers continues to grow. And I know that you're excited to hear this list. Would you like to hear the list?
How much would it cost me to prevent you from reading it?
I don't think you got it, because I really want to read this list off. So everybody is excited. I woke up this morning. Marcus Mariota released.
No, you didn't wake up and thinking that. I guarantee you that was not the first thing on your mind.
I woke up and saw he was released and saw a bunch of Niner fans saying, Marcus Mariota.
You're the same lunatic who said you can't wait to see the combine.
I still can't wait to see the combine.
I don't believe you for a moment.
Well, and based on some of your thoughts and theories, you're giving me more of a reason to see the combine. So this is...
No, there's only one reason for you to watch the combine. What is if that? Your wife leaves you. I'm just telling you, if that's on,
if she goes
and
to Target,
she walks in the room, she's going to say, give me the car keys and show me where the suitcases are.
If she goes to Target, it'll buy me some time to watch them 40 times. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff.
Right, I can't tell you how ashamed the entire audience is.
Not at all. I won't be alone, but Ray.
Anyway.
Okay, here's your
list. Oh, you'll be alone soon enough.
That's
trust
right.
me. Anyway, read your list.
Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Cooper Rush, Gardner Minshew, Case Keenum, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz. Now, out of that list, let's start here. Who would be okay with being a QB3?
None of them.
I think that Jacoby Brissett would be. I think that Case Keenum would be. And probably Cooper Rush. And maybe Andy Dalton. But I don't know anyone else. Now, Sam Darnold might not want to be, but Sam Darnold might not have a choice.
Oh, no. Whatever you're getting in that market is somebody who has failed multiple times or has not gotten any opportunities because nobody believes in them.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine a scenario in which Kyle Shanahan looks at any of them and says, yeah, that's the difference maker we want.
Well, no. And Grandy made a good point when we were talking
now,
earlier.
See, now the combine's one thing, but then saying that he's got a good point is...
Because if you did get a difference maker or some, where is that line in this list? I think the Niners are struggling with the line of a QB that wants to be a QB3, but you would imagine would perform better than Josh Johnson if called upon. But if you get somebody too good, are you creeping into the realm of, do they not trust Trey Lance? I think that's the most intriguing part of this situation that the Niners are in. And Ray, you gave a good idea. Well,
no,
look,
I didn't.
If you're gonna give an opportunity to one of these QBs, and these QBs that most of them don't want to be QB3 anyway, you struck lightning once in the draft later in the rounds, aka the last pick of the draft in Brock Purdy. Do you go after one of these guys, or do you just add on to your list of young QBs where you are paying a rookie deal and just grab somebody later in the draft? I'm just throwing a name out there that would be later available, a little bit later, in a Stetson Bennett or somebody like that. Or do you get one of these QBs who they don't really want to be a two because they got a little bit too much pride for that, but they don't really want to be a three. They got a little too much pride for that, but unfortunately those are the breaks. So I think there are so many ways that the Niners could look at it. Me personally, you made a good point, Ray, in looking for another rookie, but I think that because of what happened last year, and again, we are a society that can be very reactive instead of proactive, I think that the Niners react to what happened last year and they go with the vet.
See, I think because they have shown time and again that they have a non-quarterback dependent offense, that rather than take a veteran who either they don't believe in or doesn't believe in being a three, they might go with a draft choice, even if it's a five. You know, it's not because, hey, we found Brock Purdy, we can find somebody else,
right?
But because you're talking about a third string quarterback, and what do you want to pay for a third string quarterback? You want to pay the bare minimum,
right?
You know, you'd like to make him play for free if you could. So I'm not ruling that out simply because the 49ers, you know, Brock Purdy didn't make them a great team down the stretch. They were already that because they are McCaffrey-centric.
Right.
You know, they do not live and die on throwing the ball deep. And frankly, the one guy who can throw deep has almost not played at all. And Purdy's arm is not considered a great deep arm.
No.
So they don't need a bomber. They also don't need somebody who's going to be unhappy. And they don't need somebody they're going to have to pay $10 million to if they can get away with paying somebody $900,000. So I'm not convinced that they have to go off that list at all. I mean, that list is really only an emergency list anyway. And frankly, if their luck is so poor that Purdy can't go, and Lance is either awful or he gets hurt, then it means that God has told them, you're not winning a Super Bowl. And I would not ignore a deity who can destroy you one quarterback at a time.
Well, and I think that's the funniest thing about all of this. Everybody has said, okay, well, it was just bad luck for the Niners this year, going through three quarterbacks, two in one game. It was just bad luck. But all of those same people are very invested in the fact that, well, you do need to make sure that you got a good QB3. They're the same people that are talking about Marcus Mariota. So which is it? If you truly believe, I know you need something in case of an emergency, but I don't know how many QBs got to QB or how many teams got to QB3 this year. I know, obviously, the Dolphins, and maybe, what, five teams got to QB3? A handful? I don't think it's more than five.
I think it's more than that.
More than five.
I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it's more than five.
I would say, well, the Dolphins, the Niners, the Saints.
Commanders.
That's four already.
Panthers. I don't think the Saints. I don't think Houston. I don't want to go through all of them, but
it's
I think
handful.
It's more than five. It was a more significant number last year than in many years past.
Sure. So because of that, I guess it doesn't matter. Or I guess you do have to look at the QB3 position a little bit differently, because this time last year, nobody's talking about QB3, Ray. Nobody's talking about it.
No, but these guys poured through four of them.
I know
that. And the lesson here goes back to when they re-signed Jimmy Garoppolo. And what that said was, we need a reliable backup because we don't know what Trey Lance is. Well, they still don't know what he is, which is why all of a sudden now there's talk about, well, who's the third quarterback going to be? And the idea that John Lynch said, well, we're going to look into that. The only thing that told me was that he's doing the job that he's paid to do, which is to look into everything. I mean, off the list you read, though, I don't find any of it appealing. I mean, either he's going to be unhappy being a three and not dressing a lot of time, or he's going to be unhappy with the fact that they're going to offer him as little money as possible. And there are other teams that have quarterback needs, you know, for at least a two. Because I don't see that you're going to sign anybody off that list and say, we're going to put you ahead of Purdy or Lance, unless Purdy can't go at all, and they won't know that till they get in into his elbow, and they don't know when that's going to be.
Well, and they really
and they don't have to sign a quarterback now anyway, because most of these guys are still going to be out.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say.
You know, in August.
Yeah, because you can wait to see what happens when you get in there with Brock Purdy, because none of these guys, maybe some of them, but anybody that is gone by the time you're ready to look at them, you probably weren't going to sign anyway. I think right off the top, Gardner Minshew is probably not a guy that they're going to pick up. He's younger. He's shown a little bit of promise. I don't see him saying, okay, I'll be QB3. Then you have the Andy Daltons of the world or the Jacoby Brissetts of the world who are just older and maybe they're okay with it. Now, Andy Dalton played just last year and so did Jacoby Brissett, but it's more about where they feel they are. I know a Baker Mayfield is a no-go. That's a non-starter. We don't even need to, I don't think about that. The only thing, Ray, is if you are a QB looking, would you view the Niners QB3 position differently because of what they have? An unproven guy who's coming back from injury and a more proven but still somewhat unproven guy who's about to go into surgery. Do you look at that differently and think the same thing that Jimmy Garoppolo thought last season? I mean, there's a good chance I'm going to get some time here. They are the best number three option if you are a number three QB, or if you think you're a number two and you want to work your way up, because you have two QBs right now that are not, if the game was tomorrow, and obviously it's not, they can't do anything right now. Trey Lance is just coming back and he's dropping back. He's throwing the football. He just started throwing the football. But do you view the Niners QB3 position differently if you're one of these guys than just any other QB3 position?
No, I'd rather be a two somewhere, because a two has a much better chance of playing than a three. And really, if you're going to look that way, mm-hmm. Maybe you wait for the market to play itself out and see if anybody jumps at Jimmy Garoppolo. Because I know, people don't want that to turn back up again. But he was helpful to them last year. And you would only be interested in one of these guys if you knew that Purdy's arm was done for the year, if he couldn't play at all. At which point, and Garoppolo doesn't have an offer, why wouldn't you bring him back rather than any of those guys? I mean, the truth is, those guys are stretches.
Isn't Jimmy going to be more expensive than these guys?
We don't know. We have no idea. That's why Kyle Shanahan doesn't have to commit to any of this stuff right mm-hmm. now. Because who knows what the market's going to be? I mean, we know that they don't want to afford Derek Carr, and Derek Carr wants to start. We know that, Tom Brady is allegedly still available, even though he said he's not going to play anymore. Mm-hmm. And after that, who excites you out? None of that list. I mean, why not wait and see what the market has and let it sort itself out? And if Garoppolo is still out there, mm-hmm. which is certainly possible, why not try to talk to him? Come play for us for 10. Come play for us for 12. Because they're still saving so much money with the other two guys that even a $15 million hit, is not serious. For a Super Bowl contender, to have three quarterbacks cost $15 million total. I think as much as people didn't believe in Garoppolo coming back last year, they'll believe in it even less this time. But they're not the ones making the decision. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan has already shown that he's a pragmatist. So off that list, I don't know why any of them would be preferable to Garoppolo.
No, they wouldn't. If the pricing and the money wasn't.
I mean, unless Shanahan and Garoppolo can't stand each other, in which case, then that boat has sailed. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it didn't sound terribly optimistic at the end of the year for a return. Mm-hmm. But it didn't sound very optimistic the year before either. So, again, this is a position that is not absolutely vital to the 49ers' success or failure.
I think if you put it like that, though, then if there is something going on between Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, and don't forget the when Jimmy Garoppolo first came back in and it was a party when Trey Lance went out and Jimmy Garoppolo came in and he's flinging that football all over and Jimmy Garoppolo says, yeah, it feels like when we first started, what we said, 2017, it felt like that. It wasn't a shot at Kyle Shanahan, but it wasn't not a shot. He was meant, hey, I want to open up. I want to do some things. And obviously having Christian McCaffrey helped that situation. But if there is some type of back and forth between Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, and we know that this team isn't QB dependent, then why even deal with Jimmy Garoppolo? Oh, if you're Kyle Shanahan, I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo, he's obviously not a bad locker room guy or anything like that, but why not just close the book and get somebody that's comparable to Jimmy because of what you just said? This offense is not QB dependent. Why deal with it?
Well, I mean, the you deal with it because you're freaked out about, you know, something going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that would go wrong is that Purdy's surgery requires a lot more extensive repair than they'd first thought. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, are they satisfied with Lance yet? Do they know if he's any good? I would submit they don't.
No.
But you're still talking about a third quarterback. And if you don't get good news on Purdy, and you're still not sure about Lance... If Garoppolo's still out there, Kyle Shanahan could easily, in my mind, swallow hard and bring him back one more time because he still knows the offense better than anybody else out there. And even if he's unhappy being the third option, if you have to get to the second or even the first option, he gets to start again.
Yeah. Well, in the way you're talking, Garoppolo might be closer to the second option than the third. If bringing in Garoppolo is connected to Brock Purdy's timeline not looking great.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's why Kyle Shanahan is smarter than the rest of us. He's not worrying about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have to do anything on February 28th or March 28th or June 28th. You know, I mean, just, you know, he'll know when he needs to know how dire his quarterback situation is when the doctors say, well, you know, we don't know when we can operate because his arm is still inflamed, or we got to operate, we went in, and there's more damage than we thought, in which case Purdy's off the table. And then at that point, you know, you can do what you did last year. If Garoppolo isn't signed yet, and you want to try Lance to start the season, they did that last year, mm-hmm. and Garoppolo agreed to it. Who's to say if the market on him is not red hot or even lukewarm that he wouldn't come back again? I mean, you know, is it ideal for anybody? No, but who cares? It's a cynical, hateful business, and you make decisions based on what gets you through today.
Yeah.
You know, and Marcus Mariota ain't the answer to that.
If Jimmy Garoppolo did come back, and let's say the market wasn't as hot, do you think, what would that tell you about Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it simply that other teams viewed Jimmy as, you know, and Jimmy Garoppolo fans will hate this, but other teams viewed Jimmy as just the QB1 for the Niners in a non-QB dependent offense that they believe a lot of other QBs could look similar, maybe not the same.
They might view him as too expensive because you know he's going to want to go, you know, get to 25 or 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, of the list of available quarterbacks right now, Derek Carr's at 40, Wentz is at 32, Brady, who's probably not going to play, is 25, and then Mariota's 15. Garoppolo could easily price himself out of that group.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing that, you know, goes into the hopper. I mean, sure, people like to think that it's an easy choice. You just fall in love with him, you give him whatever money you want, and he'll accept it. I'm not sure that's true. And if the offers for him are sufficiently lowball, you know, the 49ers could match a lowball offer cheerfully. and say, well, we've got the guy that we know won't screw this up.
Yeah. Do you think that, again, if you see that price tag drop, and I thought this while it was happening, did Brock Purdy's success affect Jimmy Garoppolo's value at all?
Who knows? We don't know what his value is because nobody's made an offer.
Yeah.
Because, it's February 28th. Your beloved combine hasn't even started yet.
I can't wait. That's when this is really going to heat up, Ray.
It might heat up for you.
It's really going to heat up after the combine.
I tell you what. If my wife is switching around channels and she happens upon the combine by accident, if she hasn't changed it within a half a second, mm-hmm. I'm throwing a shoe through the TV. That shouldn't be on television at all. It's, it should be rated eh.
No, it's pretty good.
It's not. It's terrible.
And we have a lot. We have a lot to go over after it happens.
Wow, am I planning to call in sick?
No, you're not.
Oh, I'm so not talking about the combine. Just not at all. I will proudly say I didn't watch a minute of it. Mm. I refuse to. I don't care if players exploded.
There was a guy.
Who exploded?
Well, there's a guy.
I'd have heard about that.
Well, he's a DB, and he came out and said, I think he played 8 years in the league, and he came out and, he said, good luck to the combine, but I guess he was up and down for 8 years, and now he says he can just a lot of different, shots, and he was saying don't take what they're giving you in the locker rooms. He says he can barely walk now.
Yeah, because the one thing that's absolutely sure about it is as much as the NFL pays lip service to health and safety, they're interested in health. They're not interested in safety. Hmm. So that's, you can take that part to the bank instead of your beloved combine. We will be back, and we are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, not a single compromise.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
We're back, whether you like it or not. We were talking about who the 49ers might pick up off the slag heap. Mm. It's not even a scrap heap anymore.
Slag?
Who do you want?
If not Jimmy or Rook, out of
which,
that.
Which one of these yahoos do you think the 49ers could use?
I
would be willing to pay actual American money to watch.
I do like Gardner Minshew, but I don't think he would come. I don't think so. Anybody that you like, this was similar to when we would do the trade machines, or when anybody does a trade machine. Everybody wants to give away the guys that nobody else wants. I think that it's funny. I continue to see Teddy Bridgewater's name and just think, he's all right. But every time he goes somewhere, he's not really all right, is he, Ray? And he also, based on the history that the Niners have had, you can't bring in Teddy Bridgewater because you're just going to be looking for, he's going to get hurt at some point. So Teddy's out to me.
Well, it's not predestined that he's going to get hurt.
He's hurt a lot, though.
Well, okay, but it's not mandated by the rules that he must get hurt.
Well, the truth is,
any quarterback is in danger of getting hurt at any point.
Yeah.
So you can't really operate on that theory, because if you do, you can't sign anybody.
I hate to say it, but he's got that something about him. And he does remind me a little bit. He's Brock Purdy adjacent. If he's willing to be three, I would go Taylor Heinicke. That's who I would go from this list.
See, I can't envision him wanting to be a three.
Probably not.
He could stay where he is and be a two at worst.
Yeah.
And as soon as Sam Howell, decomposes before your eyes, he'll be starting again.
Mm-hmm.
It's that list. It has a lot of names on it, and it's a lot of names that people remember from their fantasy leagues when they had to pick a third quarterback.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, they would want to be a third quarterback here.
Yeah.
Because they also don't know what Brock Purdy's surgery would be like.
If you're joining us from before the break, this list is just what the backup QB market looks like right now. Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Cooper Rush, Gardner Minshew, Case Keenum, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Carson Wentz. Andy Dalton, how old is Andy Dalton? He's got to be ready to be a three, right, Ray? He's ready
to be. He's 36. He might be ready to just retire.
I'd rather retire than be a three.
Well, you know, I mean, he made $3 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the 49ers could make him their most expensive quarterback
right.
just to stand in it, just to sit in civilian clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to dress three quarterbacks for every game.
Right.
I mean, even after what happened in the conference final. I mean, that just seems to me to be insane. So,
another part of this list is anybody interested in coaching? You know, that's the quickest way to get into the coaching area. Backup QB, third stringer, help out a little bit. Andy Dalton, you think about coaching a little bit?
You don't think Andy Dalton could get an assistant coach's job without coming here?
Just 1 year, you know, yeah, I did the Andre Iguodala thing. Now I'm ready to go.
Yeah, because everybody, all athletes in all sports want to do the Andre Iguodala thing.
Somehow the Udonis Haslam thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, you dress in civvies all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get into a sideline fight if you get a chance.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's how you fire up,
I mean,
you know.
It, being a third string quarterback for any of these guys is a significant come down. And given what third string quarterbacks get paid, you know, even if it's just nothing, it's still, they all should have more than enough money so that they don't have to stand around with a minimal chance to play,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the veteran minimum. I mean, I don't see what's appealing about this job to any of those guys if they have any kind of alternative. And if they don't have an alternative, why would the 49ers want him?
That's the whole chicken and egg part of it. If the Niners want you, you're probably not wanted anywhere else. If the Niners don't want you, I guess maybe it means you are wanted other places, because the Niners don't necessarily know what they want. They want someone that's going to be good enough, but doesn't think they're good enough.
No, they want a warm body.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the third quarterback. Ideally for them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the second quarterback, then they have to adjust their sights northward. And it means, you know, you might have to pay that guy a commensurate salary, like $10, $12 million. You know, and all of a sudden your most expensive quarterback is a backup. You know, I mean, they ended up having to do that last year with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And again, if that's the position that they're in, when camp opens and Garoppolo is still available, and I'm not convinced he won't be, why wouldn't you just do it again? Because it worked last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kyle Shanahan, like I said, he's a pragmatist more than anything else. He's not going to worry about what it looks like to you or me or, you know, the lunatics who, you know, go to their games every week. He looked bad when he did it last year. Until you had to play him, and then all of a sudden, they're a team.
Right.
You know, so, you know, he's got nothing but, I'm always right on this, on his side. You know, and the no-show, well, you haven't found that franchise quarterback, they need a franchise quarterback. Because they weren't beating the Eagles with whoever the quarterback was. Unless they managed to figure out a way to get Mahomes.
Right.
Because the Eagles beat the living hell out of that offensive line the whole day. So, what's the danger here?
Well, then, in that case, should Niner fans just not even look at these names? If it's not going to be, so you said that you would go in the rookie direction, but what do you actually think Kyle Shanahan will do? These guys are probably non-starters.
Well, if they're all non-starters.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would hope that Garoppolo doesn't get an offer.
He's going to get an offer.
We don't know that.
I do know that.
Okay, based on what, tell me the facts that help fuel your opinion here.
Because there was a lot of bad quarterback play last season, and Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback.
Well,
and there are teams that have, that believe that they have talent that Jimmy Garoppolo could utilize better than what they had last year, like a New York Jets.
But the Jets are making a play for Derek Carr, who they clearly regard as better.
But Derek Carr Garoppolo can only go one place.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be everyone's plan B and some teams' plan A.
Well, I think what you're going to find is most of those teams are going to, the ones that don't get Carr will either draft a quarterback high.
Okay.
Or they'll start the guy they already have in the building. Because if you can't get one of the top four quarterbacks, whether it's Richardson or Levis or obviously Stroud or Young, you know, you're taking way much of a chance on a guy that you may not believe in. I mean, Washington's already committed to Sam Howell. That's how much the quarterback gig is starting to sway that way. Just, we got a guy in the building, let's see if he can play. So I think the guys in the building have an enormous advantage over anybody who's drafted or anybody who's on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, maybe Garoppolo gets signed by somebody. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he doesn't, because he's going to be way more expensive than the Sam Howells of the world.
Sure. And again, you're getting Jimmy Garoppolo, but you're not getting Jimmy Garoppolo
with the 49ers.
With the 49ers.
Yeah, so and that might color judgments too. In which case, he would be available at that point, and he would be far more appealing than anybody on that list.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking here. Obviously, Chicago goes one, Houston two.
And they're going to trade down.
Chicago will.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation about Chicago moving Justin Fields. It continues to come back and forth because obviously those who are in the building didn't draft Justin Fields. I don't think it's that crazy, to be honest, if you don't want to build a team around somebody like Justin Fields. Now, I watched a lot of Justin Fields and I get it, teams are wide open, right? In college, so it's a bit different, but I don't remember Justin Fields not being able to throw the football. So I don't know that I'm out on him just...
No, well, his problem is he throws it, but eventually lands on the ground because they don't have any receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one guy they had, they let go to the Rams, and he turned out to be a disaster. But, I mean, the Bears did not lose 14 games because of Justin Fields.
No.
They lost 14 games because of everybody else.
And then they went out and got Chase Claypool, who I don't even know if he's one.
We don't know. Well, he'll be their one.
He'll be their one.
But, you know, no, I think, you know, Matt Eberflus is throwing out hints like, well, you know, there are things we want to see him improve at. But, no, they're committed to him.
You think he's just playing it a little
coy? He's just yanking people's chains.
It does bring up a good point, though. And I don't know, Ray, if where you've, everywhere that you've lived. But now it seems like this conversation is coming up more than it has in the past. And I don't know if it's because Bryce Young's a little smaller or whatever the case is, but the conversation of the weather and cold weather and how Derek Carr can't really play in the cold weather, and Justin Fields had said he doesn't like playing in the cold. Nobody likes playing in the cold weather.
No, well, Chicago's not moving, so you're just going to have to deal with
it. Or
that.
Getting a dome.
Yeah, hold that thought, because I'm welcoming all of you, all three of you, to your 4 o'clock hour.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Now
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
We're back, whether you like it or not. We were talking about who the 49ers might pick up off the slag heap. It's not even a scrap heap anymore.
Slag?
Who do you want?
If not Jimmy or Rook? Out of
which,
that?
Which one of these yahoos do you think the 49ers could use?
And
would be willing to pay actual American money to watch?
I do like Gardner Minshew, but I don't think he would come. I don't think so. Anybody that you like, this was similar to when we would do the trade machines, or when anybody does a trade machine. Everybody wants to give away the guys that nobody else wants. I think that it's funny. I continue to see Teddy Bridgewater's name and just think, I mean, he's all right. But every time he goes somewhere, he's not really all right, is he, Ray? And he also, based on the history that the Niners have had, you can't bring in Teddy Bridgewater because you're just going to be looking for, he's going to get hurt at some point. So Teddy's out to me.
Well, I mean, it's not predestined that he's going to get hurt.
He's hurt a lot, though.
Well, okay, but it's not mandated by the rules that he must get hurt.
Well, the truth is,
any quarterback is in danger of getting hurt at any point.
Yeah.
So you can't really operate on that theory, because if you do, you can't sign anybody.
I hate to say it, but he's got that something about him. And he does remind me a little bit. He's Brock Purdy adjacent. If he's willing to be three, I would go Taylor Heinicke. That's who I would go from this list.
See, I can't envision him wanting to be a three.
Probably not.
I mean, he could stay where he is and be a two at worst.
Yeah.
And as soon as Sam Howell, you know, decomposes before your eyes, he'll be starting again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that list, it has a lot of names on it, and it's a lot of names that people remember from their fantasy leagues when they had to pick a third quarterback.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, you know, they would want to be a third quarterback here.
Yeah.
Because they also don't know what Brock Purdy's surgery would be like.
If you're joining us from before the break, this list is just what the backup QB market looks like right now. Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heinicke, Cooper Rush, Gardner Minshew, Case Keenum, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Carson Wentz. Andy Dalton, how old is Andy Dalton? He's got to be ready to be a three, right, Ray?
He's 36. He might be ready to just retire.
I'd rather retire than be a three.
Well, you know, I mean, he made $3 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the 49ers could make him their most expensive quarterback,
right,
just to stand in it, just to sit in civilian clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to dress three quarterbacks for every game.
Right.
I mean, even after what happened in the conference final. I mean, that just seems to me to be insane. So
another part of this list is anybody interested in coaching? You know, that's the quickest way to get into the coaching area. Backup QB, third stringer, help out a little bit. Andy Dalton, you think about coaching a little bit?
You don't think Andy Dalton could get an assistant coach's job without coming here?
Just 1 year, you know, yeah, I did the Andre Iguodala thing. Now I'm ready to go.
Yeah, because everybody, all athletes in all sports want to do the Andre Iguodala thing.
Somehow the Udonis Haslam thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, yeah, you dress in civvies all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get into a sideline fight if you get a chance.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's how you fire up,
I mean,
you know.
Being a third string quarterback for any of these guys is a significant come down. And given what third string quarterbacks get paid, you know, even if it's just nothing, it's still, they all should have more than enough money so that they don't have to stand around with a minimal chance to play,
mm-hmm,
you know, for the veteran minimum. I mean, I don't see what's appealing about this job to any of those guys if they have any kind of alternative. And if they don't have an alternative, why would the 49ers want them?
That's the whole chicken and egg part of it. If you want, if the Niners want you, you're probably not wanted anywhere else. If the Niners don't want you, I guess maybe it means you are wanted other places, because the Niners don't necessarily know what they want. They want someone that's going to be good enough, but doesn't think they're good enough.
No, they want a warm body.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the third quarterback, ideally, for them. Mm-hmm. If it's the second quarterback, then they have to adjust their sights northward. And it means, you know, you might have to pay that guy a commensurate salary, like $10, $12 million. You know, and all of a sudden, your most expensive quarterback is a backup. You know, I mean, they ended up having to do that last year with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And again, if that's the position that they're in when camp opens and Garoppolo is still available, and I'm not convinced he won't be, why wouldn't you just do it again? Because it worked last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kyle Shanahan, like I said, he's a pragmatist more than anything else. He's not going to worry about what it looks like to you or me or, you know, the lunatics who, you know, go to their games every week. He looked bad when he did it last year until you had to play him, and then all of a sudden, they're a team.
Right.
You know, so, you know, he's got nothing but I'm always right on this, on his side. You know, and the no-show, well, you haven't found that franchise quarterback, then need a franchise quarterback, because they weren't beating the Eagles with whoever the quarterback was. Unless they managed to figure out a way to get Mahomes.
Right.
Because the Eagles beat the living hell out of that offensive line the whole day. So, what's the danger here?
Well, then in that case, are we even look... Should Niner fans just not even look at these names? Do we... Well, if it's not going to be... So, you said that you would go in the rookie direction, but what do you actually think Kyle Shanahan will do? These guys are probably non-starters.
Well, if they're all non-starters,
mm-hmm.
then I would hope that Garoppolo doesn't get an offer.
He's going to get an offer.
We don't know that.
I do know that.
Okay. Based on what, tell me the facts that help fuel your opinion here.
Because there was a lot of bad quarterback play last season, and Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback.
Well,
and there are teams that have, that believe that they have talent that Jimmy Garoppolo could utilize better than what they had last year, like the New York Jets.
But the Jets are making a play for Derek Carr, who they clearly regard as better.
But Derek Carr Garoppolo can only go one place.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be everyone's plan B and some teams' plan A.
Well, I think what you're going to find is most of those teams are going to, the ones that don't get Carr will either draft a quarterback high.
Okay.
Or they'll start the guy they already have in the building. Because if you can't get one of the top four quarterbacks, whether it's Richardson or Levis or obviously Stroud or Young, you know, you're taking way much of a chance on a guy that you may not believe in. I mean, Washington's already committed to Sam Howell. That's how much the quarterback gig is starting to sway that way. Just, we got a guy in the building, let's see if he can play. So I think the guys in the building have an enormous advantage over anybody who's drafted or anybody who's on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, maybe Garoppolo gets signed by somebody. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he doesn't, because he's going to be way more expensive than the Sam Howells of the world.
Sure. And again, you're getting Jimmy Garoppolo, but you're not getting Jimmy Garoppolo
with the 49ers.
With the 49ers.
Yeah, so, and that might color judgments too. In which case, he would be available at that point, and he would be far more appealing than anybody on that list.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking here. Obviously, Chicago goes one, Houston two.
And they're going to trade down.
Chicago will.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation about Chicago moving Justin Fields. It continues to come back and forth because, obviously, those who are in the building didn't draft Justin Fields. I don't think it's that crazy, to be honest, if you don't want to build a team around somebody like Justin Fields. Now, I watched a lot of Justin Fields and I get it, teams are wide open, right, in college, so it's a bit different. But I don't remember Justin Fields not being able to throw the football. So I don't know that I'm out on him just...
No, well, his problem is he throws it, but eventually lands on the ground because they don't have any receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one guy they had, they let go to the Rams, and he turned out to be a disaster. But, I mean, the Bears did not lose 14 games because of Justin Fields.
No.
They lost 14 games because of everybody else.
And then they went out and got Chase Claypool, who I don't even know... if he's one.
We don't know. Well, he'll be their one.
He'll be their one.
But, you know, no, I think, you know, Matt Eberflus is throwing out hints like, well, you know, there are things we want to see him improve at. But, no, they're committed to him.
You think he's just playing it a little
coy? He's just yanking people's chains.
It does bring up a good point, though. And I don't know, Ray, if where you've... everywhere that you've lived. But now it seems like this conversation is coming up more than it has in the past. And I don't know if it's because Bryce Young's a little smaller or whatever the case is, but the conversation of the weather and cold weather and how Derek Carr can't really play in the cold weather. And Justin Fields had said he doesn't like playing in the cold. Nobody likes playing in the cold weather.
No, well, Chicago's not moving. So you're just going to have to deal with
it. Or getting a dome.
Yeah. Hold that thought, because I'm welcoming all of you, all three of you, to your 4 o'clock hour.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.